after the 12 o'clock hour. It's the whole show. And, Colfax, it's Top Text Tuesday today. Yeah, yeah, yes. I want to see something. I want to see something special from the Hooligans today, because we had a rough weekend with the Broncos getting shellacked over the weekend by the Kansas City Chiefs, and it's just it's one of those days that I need a little pick me up, a little cheering up here today on this program. So you know the drill. Text the show. Text KFKA to 31996 if you're new to the program. But those of you that have been doing this and you're Hall of Famers, you know the drill. Just, you have the number saved by now. The First Advantage text line is 31996. Get involved, and I want to hear your best takes. You know, whether that's something about the Broncos, Drew Locke, it could be something comical. Could be just a damn good take today. I'm looking for some insight. I want you guys to be, like, insightful today. You know, just really intelligent Hooligans, and I know that we're asking a lot there. I do, and that's a little scary for me, but I want to go there. So whatever, we want to go there. We talk about the Broncos. We talk about the Nuggets, because I got three guys that I'd like to see in a Nuggets uniform. I don't know how much it makes sense at this stage, but whether that's our Power to Play Sports poll question, I should say, is up, and it's available at thewholeshow.com. Who would you rather see in a Nuggets uniform next season? Drew Holiday? Victor Oladipo? Or Danilo Gallinari? Now, Drew would be a trade. Victor would be a trade. What we read, what we hear, is that both teams might be willing to do that if the price is right, because both guys are in their going into their contract years. Danilo Gallinari, however, is a free agent. But again, the money for all three of these guys is going to be nuts. Victor Oladipo was paid $21 million last year. Will be paid $21 million this year. Danilo Gallinari is a $22 million kind of guy. What is he worth now? He was averaging some pretty big points, 19 points per game. So you got to think he's still demanding close to that. Or, you know, he did say that championship was more meaningful at this stage, but okay, a couple million dollars less. And then you look at Drew. He's set to do $27 million in 21-22, but that's a player option. So technically, the Pelicans have him through 2020 and 21. Will Drew re-sign with them after that? Don't know. That guy's probably getting to a point in his career, he's 30, where he's looking at something different. Pillow Fight Dan says, I can get you a pick-me-up. I got a guy. That's good. That's good. That's a good way to start it. We'll talk later, Pillow Fight Dan. I might need that person. Who would you rather see in a Nuggets uniform? Go vote at thewholeshow.com. And Colfax, you have the whole show yardometer up to speed, right? So we actually can start looking at this and evaluating a little bit. I don't think there's any evaluation. It's Philip Lindsay. But we have the total yards tracker, and that's available, the yardometer. Last year we did the sackometer. That proved to be a bad omen. I think the whole show yardometer is kind of popping out of it a little bit, except for the injuries, maybe. Because Lindsay gets hurt with the concussion, but he had, what, about 80 yards before the half, and then Gordon had about 70. So Gordon on the year has 406 yards total, and Philip Lindsay has 215 yards total. Now, we decided to add total rather than rushing. Lindsay's definitely going to be more rushing there. That's probably mostly rushing. Melvin Gordon, 70% rushing, maybe. Got a few more passing yards than Lindsay. He's more of a pass-catching running back. Okay, so I want to get into the Nuggets a little bit today, mix it up. Definitely want to talk about this in the Mountain West Conference. I'm going to see if I can get Kevin Lytle on. I know he was just on the Zoom call. I love that the scheduling of the Zoom calls is in the 11-ish, 12 o'clock-ish hours for CSU. I don't really get to be a part of those, but that's okay. You know, that's the way the world works sometimes, Colfax. Back in the day, they used to practice in the afternoon. I'd bust out on my way home from work, catch a little practice, go from there. But not the case nowadays. All right, so let me get to this one. The big story of the day presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. Kind of trying to get a few things straight here on this Tuesday. New Mexico San Jose State football game relocated to San Jose. Now, remember that New Mexico and CSU were supposed to play Saturday. Didn't happen because of COVID. It is now Tuesday. It is a few days later. And the Mountain West Conference said they're going to do everything in their power to make sure this game works. This was posted in the on the Mountain West Conference website. Due to the continued prevalence of the COVID-19 virus and in accordance with state guidelines, New Mexico San Jose State football game scheduled for Saturday, October 31st, has been relocated to CEFCU Stadium in San Jose, California. Kickoff remains set for 4 o'clock. The tweets, I think, are what's getting people. You know, you're seeing a lot of this. Oh, well, the Mountain West is going to do whatever it takes to make sure that this game happens. Well, I guess Rams fans are probably asking the question, why didn't we make sure this happened last week? What changed? And that's kind of been my biggest frustration, I suppose, with everything is, you know, the inconsistencies. What changes from one day to the next, 1 week to the next? But, yeah, they're heading to San Jose State. I'm going to talk to Kevin Lytle. We'll see if we can catch him. We'll get the latest there. This post, too, Jackson Moore posted last night. San Jose State University head coach Brent Brennan says that the conference is working hard to make the San Jose State-New Mexico game happen this week. One possibility is moving the game. That was last night. Obviously, the possibility came to fruition. And people are just like, wait, what? How did that happen? How did Steve Addazio get screwed out of this thing? I'm curious to know if anybody asked him that question. Pillow Fight Dan. Is Pillow Fight Dan coming in for this thing, Colfax? Is he wanting this thing? I'm trying to see. I have it written down somewhere. I'm trying to, you know, be a good person and make sure we don't screw anybody over here in this. Pillow Fight Dan got one. He got it last week, right? Ken Bone's in the mix. Dixon's in the mix. Sir Charles can win today if he brings some greatness. McLean's in the mix. Inquiring Minds in the mix. We're kind of spread out on this one. Kind of spread out. Pillow Fight Dan, I can't see you because it's radio and you're texting. I feel like you have that look in your eye. Like you have that look of, I'm going to win at no matter the cost. I'm going to find a way to get win number two, get closer. Now, what are you playing for? The Nuggets gift package. We got the big gym bag. You got the Nikola Jokic hoodie in there. You got the no parking sign unless a Nuggets fan. The little, you know, like license plate style of signs you can put up. We got several banners to hang. Old school logos. Tons of koozies, which, let's face it, Colfax, the Hooligans need a lot of koozies, man. I mean, that's the brass tacks of it. You guys are day drinking more than anybody. And you need them. You need to disguise what you're up to. I get it. I'm here to help you with that. But I'm trying to reward you rather than just give stuff away. You know, give a man a fish and he'll eat for a day. Teach a man to fish and he'll eat forever. So that's what I'm trying to do. I'm teaching the Hooligans to fish today, Colfax. That's what we're doing. That's what we're about. 14 minutes after the hour. Power to Play Sports poll question. This is kind of, you know, offsetting from the Broncos talk that's dominating. Check this out. Who would you rather see in a Nuggets uniform next season? Victor Oladipo, which, again, you're going to have to trade for. Drew Holiday, you have to trade for. Or Danilo Gallinari, be a free agent signing. Two guards and one forward. Holiday and Oladipo being the guards and Gallo being the forward. 77% of the Hooligans are going Victor Oladipo on this one. That's okay. I mean, both guys are tremendous. Oladipo's good. He averaged about 14.5 points per game last year, but he only played in, you know what, 19 games, something like that, 20 games. The year before that, that's kind of more so what you're going to get the last 2 years, about 19 points per game. So here's the deal. All three of those guys are probably about 20-point-per-game guys. Over Oladipo's career, he's been a 17.5 points is what he's averaged. I'd be really curious to see how this all works out. If the Nuggets even want to get aggressive and go that direction. Pillow Fight Dan says, maybe we can call the new ball arena the Sack-O-Meter. But what would we, what are we, do I even ask that question? No, don't ask. That's so old news already. How many times do you think it's gonna stick before you call it Ball Arena? Still, like right now, it still feels like I just say Pepsi Center. That's going to take some time. It'll take some time. Broncos, want to kind of break into that today. I want to get into the injuries because, again, here we are. The Broncos are trying to figure out what their situation looks like with, obviously, big-time player Philip Lindsay. That's the big issue. We haven't got to see it connect. We haven't got to see the two yet. And I agree with Mark Knutson, if you can believe that. Because I agree with him, first off, because he agreed with me. I do think the combo of the two is tremendous, and I hate the idea of, oh, man, Philip Lindsay, he should just get all Gordon's carries. No, because he's going to get hurt, and also it's a change of pace thing. Gordon has his place. My biggest gripe from day one has been that they're not showing Philip Lindsay the love. 16 minutes after the hour, I want to talk about this, though. I want to bust into it. Vic Fangio had a few things to say about Jerry Jeudy. We're gonna talk about Drew Lock. Is it all on Drew Lock or is Pat Shurmur trying? What did I compare this offense to last year, Colfax?
A fighter jet.
A fighter jet.
Yes.
When I think that Drew Lock needs to, when I was a freshman in high school, the first vehicle I bought, Colfax, it was not a fighter jet.
No,
it wasn't. My dad didn't put me in the most fancy of F-150 you can get. It was a 1989 Ford pickup truck that I bought for $4,000. It was such a piece of crap that you didn't even have to. You started the vehicle, you took it out of park, and you were automatically going 15 miles per hour without even pushing the gas pedal down. Yeah, probably dangerous, right? But that's how that pickup, I'd just be like, look at this, dude. I'm not even touching the gas pedal. We're going 15 miles an hour down Main Street. I've been doing this for like an hour. I could do this all day. That pickup taught me about life. It taught me how to drive better vehicles. Not much better, but better. Drew Lock needed the 1989 Ford pickup first. Instead, here's a jet. Go deep. Good luck. That's what Pat Shurmur and that's what the Broncos have created. Even though last year, Scangarello and company wanted to create more of a balanced attack, maybe more run heavy. This year, when they should be everything that screams run, you got Drew Lock going downfield. It's mind-boggling to me, but that is your Denver Broncos for the last four or five seasons. Nothing really seems to make sense. That move doesn't make sense here. This move doesn't make sense there. And you're left with an offense that should be identified by its run game, but seems to almost shy away from that. 18 minutes after the hour, I'll take a quick break. Kevin Lytle coming up next. Why is New Mexico playing this weekend? Why are they doing everything in their power to make sure they play this weekend and it wouldn't happen last week? What has changed in the COVID world? We'll be right back.
Inside the Bears Den, presented by Chris Musa Agency, Allstate Insurance. Tonight at 6 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. No code now. Weekdays at 4 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Nick Griffith, Sports Director at Fox 31 Denver. You are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Twenty-three minutes after the hour, this is The Whole Show. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Well, New Mexico, San Jose State football. The Mountain West is going to do everything in their power to make this game happen. But I think Rams fans are going, hey, wait, why didn't you do everything in your power to make it happen last weekend? I think Rams fans are kind of frustrated. Kevin Lytle's on to join us today from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And Kevin, We're frustrated, man. What's going on? There's got to be a reasonable reason why the Rams game and New Mexico game wasn't pushed so hard as this one coming up this weekend.
Yeah, it's very strange, and you know, honestly, I've struggled to figure out a rational explanation because, you know, I think the thing some people might point at is, well, you know, it just came too quickly after, you know, some of the New Mexico state restrictions, but that's not really true. I mean, I wrote the story, I think it was the Wednesday, about a week and a half before the game was scheduled, saying basically the game is in peril. So if I saw it coming, I think everyone else better have been able to. So I'm not sure, you know, why the powers that be couldn't put it all together. And the funny thing, like you kind of said, is for the CSU game, they didn't really have to change anything. New Mexico was coming to Colorado State. It wasn't, you know, you didn't have any of the restrictions of a team coming into New Mexico. The big issue was New Mexico wasn't practicing fully, but even their leadership said that they'd be good to play. They haven't had many COVID positives, so it's not like their roster was depleted. So really, it kind of makes no sense that last week they couldn't come to Fort Collins, but this week they can go to California to play San Jose State. It's kind of bewildering, and we just talked to Steve Adazio about 15 minutes ago, and he said the same thing. Yeah, obviously kind of cautious to not get himself in trouble with the league, but said, yeah, I don't really get why they can travel now but couldn't travel a week ago to play a game. So it's pretty weird and frustrating for CSU people.
Yeah, and again, not to get into one side or the other about this whole thing, because I know COVID and all that's so hard to navigate through for everyone. But this is where I think some people get frustrated, whether that's football games or whatever, is there's just inconsistent things that happen. And it's like, wait, why is this football game? We're having to change so many things up for this one. Like you said, the CSU, it was, we were coming to Fort Collins. It was already in motion. I guess there's just a lot of inconsistencies that frustrate folks.
Yeah, I think one of the things we're seeing kind of bigger picture with college football, with the NFL, we're seeing it with college basketball now, is why don't you guys have a plan? I mean, you know, it was one thing when things were happening in April and everyone was scrambling, because obviously no one was prepared for this. But now we're, you know, how many months in and still, you know, the NFL, college football, college basketball are all scrambling around as if this was just thrown on them this week. And I think that's the big frustration. Yeah, there are obviously new things popping up all the time, but there should be a better plan in place. And in a lot of ways, it feels like winging it, which, as you can imagine, isn't going real great.
Yeah, and that's the troublesome part. So you said you talked to Steve Adazio a bit, or you asked him about it. Was he noticeably upset by this, or was he doing the kind of coach thing and handling it as professionally as he possibly can? Yeah. How did he handle it?
Yeah, no, you could tell. Like I say, the words he said, you know, there was nothing like shocking. He said, yeah, we were frustrated and don't understand why they can play on the road this week but couldn't last week. You know, he didn't say anything super shocking because, again, obviously trying not to get in trouble. But you could tell he was very definitely frustrated and very understandably so. Like I say, there's not much reasoning that it has been made public, at least. You know, maybe there's behind-the-scenes stuff that we don't know, but why not share that? Like you say, the statement yesterday of, you know, doing everything they can to make this game happen sure flies in the face of last week. You know, when we talked this time a week ago, the thing I said to you was, I'm not shocked the game was canceled, but I'm shocked it was canceled so early in the week, which does not scream doing everything you can to make the game happen.
Yeah, no doubt about it, man. I mean, that's again, that's what's frustrating about this, and I think Rams fans have all the reason to be frustrated by the situation. Well, as Coach Adazio said last week, it's on to Fresno. That game, we feel like that's ready to go. I mean, Thursday night comes pretty quickly here, Kevin.
Yeah, all systems go at this minute. You know, check back in 20 minutes, and 20 minutes after that, do that until kickoff. But yeah, it is interesting. I guess, you know, we kind of mentioned last week the pseudo-good thing with the cancellation. Obviously, it pales in comparison to everything else, but is that CSU didn't have to do a quick turnaround from a Saturday night game to a Thursday game. And so they've basically been able to treat this as a normal game week. So yeah, it's a Thursday, but they've had, you know, their whole week preparation in advance of Fresno State. The snowstorm messed things up a little bit, but, you know, since late last week, they already knew they weren't playing on the weekend. They were, you know, looking ahead. So they are, you know, kind of fully prepared as opposed to most Thursday games. And, yeah, they'll be on a plane tomorrow, barring any real late setbacks. And, again, you don't know until the ball is kicked, but we're looking a lot more likely this week to play than obviously last week.
So how about the X's and O's of this game, Kevin? And again, we don't know. We're assuming the game's ready to go. Who knows? But we're going to pretend it is. Your colleague over at the Colorado, Kelly Lyle, asked the question about the quarterback situation. Now, I'm in the offseason thinking, man, this is a prove-it year for Patrick O'Brien. He's going to have this huge opportunity. Well, at the time, he has Warren Jackson, has all these weapons. He's going to try to really add something to his resume this year. Is there a question mark as to who's going to be the starting quarterback on Thursday?
Yeah, there absolutely is. Steve Adazio, again today, kind of said he claims that they haven't named one and don't know who it'll be. I don't fully buy into that because it's 2 days out. I think they probably at least have a pretty strong idea. But what he did say, which makes a lot of sense, is that, you know, a normal year, he'd be pretty insistent on finding the starter and leaning into that guy. But he says this year, you never know who's going to end up not available. So splitting reps, not just at quarterback, but a lot of positions, is a lot more important this year because you know you're going to have to rotate players, you know, with COVID and, you know, isolations, people unable to play. He says, so this year, I'm not as worried about naming a starter. I want all those guys to get reps, and we'll go from there. You know, he did mention Justice McCoy. I still don't think Justice is truly in the mix. Partly because history has showed he has kind of gotten the short end of the stick, to be honest. I feel bad for him. I expect Patrick O'Brien to start, but I won't be surprised at all to see Todd Senteo on the field at times. And it wouldn't even stun me if he started. I'd be surprised, but I do think he'll play.
Kevin, talk to us more about Justice McCoy, because he's always been that guy. He's always just there. We don't talk a whole lot about him, but then suddenly when a starting quarterback struggles, his name is right there in the thick of it, and we have a quarterback battle on our hands. And then midweek, everything calms back down, and whoever was the starter before kind of eases back into that role. Talk to us a little bit about his position on this team.
Yeah, Justice McCoy is a really interesting one. Like, you know, the guy, it seems like he's been around a long time, and you know, there are flashes, you know, Colin Hill gets hurt, or especially the one a couple years ago when Hill got hurt in the offseason. You're saying, oh, man, CSU doesn't have any quarterbacks. This might be Justice's year. Then they bring in K.J. Carr-Samuels for kind of a forced marriage to play that season. And really, he's just never gotten a shot. But I think players, every time you talk to players, they really like him, really respect him. You know, you keep wondering if he'll transfer, but he seems to really like Fort Collins and CSU. So it seems like guy, you know, he's putting in his work, continues to work for the team, and seems to be willing to help out, even if that means he's not on the field.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. Well, that's certainly interesting on the quarterback side of things going in. What do you think going in here? And again, we don't have a lot of information. Things are so much different now. And I know you guys are doing Zooms and catching up with coach when you can, kind of a moving schedule there. If you had to look at what's going to be the strength of this team? We thought the receiving group mixed with wide receivers, tight ends was really going to be the strength. Warren Jackson's not there, but you still have Trey McBride, Dante Wright. Is that the strength for this Rams team, or is there something else there?
I still think it has to be that. Even without Warren Jackson, even with Cam Butler out injured for the year, I still think that receiver tight end group is the best. You know, Dante Wright is a star. He's going to be amazing. Nate Craig Myers is the one I'm really interested in. You know, with Warren Jackson gone now, this is really a chance for Nate Craig Myers to kind of, I guess, live up to the potential, you know, that he had. You know, he was one of the top recruits in the nation, you know, 4- or 5-star guy when he went to Auburn initially. So this is kind of his chance to be kind of a number one, him and Dante Wright, sort of 1A, 1B, very different styles, obviously, in their play. But I still think that's the strength of the team, because if you look around elsewhere, I can find some holes pretty easily in pretty much every other area of the team.
Yeah, well, it's what do you make of Fresno State early going in Thursday night? They get a chance to play last week. I know Coach Adazio talked to you guys about, you know, the benefits of that and everything, but they lose to Hawaii 34-19. What do you make of Fresno State at this stage?
Yeah, it's tough to say because, again, everything is so uncertain and everyone's preparation for the season is so weird that these first couple games, it's really hard for me to evaluate. I would say their defense didn't look very good, but again, you're evaluating against a Hawaii team that kind of throws it around and plays a lot different style. They had some quarterback containment issues against Hawaii. They play a pretty different style than a lot of teams. So even that, I'm not sure 100% what to put into that. So I guess by sitting on the fence, the answer is, it seems like a winnable game for CSU. They won at Fresno last year. But I think we also don't really, to be frank, we don't know what to expect from either Fresno or CSU at this early stage. I think it's really hard to guesstimate that. And we've seen that across college football. I mean, how many weird results have we seen, especially, with teams playing their first games?
Yeah, no doubt about it. And to be honest, we're still seeing strange games now that really don't make any sense, both at the college level and the NFL level. So who knows what to expect on Thursday. How about you, Kevin, personally? Are you are you traveling with the team? What's that look like? Or not with but traveling, to
right.
where they're going?
Yeah, unfortunately, corporate policy is restricting plane flights for, health and safety reasons and all that. So not able to make the trip to Fresno. So we'll be catching on TV and all the interviews these days, like you said, are Zoom and whatnot anyway. So we'll still talk to Adazio and players after the game via Zoom. But it'll be different. This is the first time in a long time that I've missed any game, been at every single game for the past, however many years. So, another weird, not-so-fun 2020 experience.
Yeah, no doubt. Strange time, my friend. Kevin, and a late game, too, on Thursday, right? Is it 8:30?
No, I believe that I should know this. I think it's 8.
Okay, it's 8. Okay. Well,
a little bit past some of our bedtime.
Yeah, 8's a little better to me. I'm thinking 8:30. Oh, my goodness. 8, that helps. That does help. Okay, so thanks for clearing that up for us.
Yep, 8 o'clock, get a little nap in the afternoon.
I'll just nap at work in between this show, and in between hour 1 and 2. It's usually what we do. Kevin, appreciate you as always, my man. It's crazy times, and I at the drop of a hat, I'll shoot you a text. If you're not busy, you can't make it, but we do appreciate it when you can.
Always happy to jump on, Brady. Thanks for having me again.
All right, man. Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado. Okay, 8 o'clock, that's my bad. That is 8 o'clock. I don't know. I really don't know who's going to win this game. I'm a little... Is that coach speak about the quarterback thing? Like, trying to set Fresno State off, like, steer him off the scent a little bit? Because Patrick O'Brien was the guy. I was excited about this whole situation, but now suddenly I'm watching the Zoom meeting. And I don't know if you... Do you have that now, Colfax? Here's Coach Adazio talking about the quarterback position yesterday in a Zoom conference call.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're both doing a great job, working hard, and we'll probably settle in here in the next 24 hours as a staff. But they've taken equal reps and had a great deal of prep time, and both have excelled in different areas. It's good, healthy competition.
And Kelly Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and followed immediately up with that and saying, hey, are we going to know? Like, when are we going to know?
I think those decisions will decide how we're going to handle all that probably here in the next 24 hours or so.
Next 24 hours. He said it twice. Said 24 hours, Colfax. So that was kind of a shocker to me, was that we're kind of trying to figure out who this quarterback is. Now, again, teams do this, especially at the college level. We do this a lot where it's, oh, yeah, well, we're having a quarterback competition right now, but... Here's the thing that's not, if you know it's the guy, like Colin Hill last year when he was healthy, there was no debate. There was no, oh, we'll see how he's doing. We knew who the quarterback was. And I mean, if you don't know, okay, open it up for competition. But did something going on with Patrick O'Brien in practice to not make him the clear-cut guy? Or is it because you look at new coach, new system, where it's like, no, honestly, I'm coming at this fresh. I'm not looking at anything in the past. Todd Centineo, is he going to be the guy? And then obviously, as Kevin had mentioned, Justice McCoy. So that's kind of interesting to me that we don't have this already ironed out. But I thought this was going to be a big year for Patrick. Listen, my gut tells me it's still probably going to be Patrick, and that's based on just from that's what you know, even though Adazio doesn't really know him. It's what this team knows. So there we go. But very curious to see what that looks like in the next couple of hours, 24 hours, 38 minutes after the hour. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
What's up, Hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to The Hole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Game beer of the week from On the Rocks Liquor. Check it out. Get it for a discount price. This one's from Odell's Brewing in Fort Collins, Isolation Ale, which is, I guess, kind of fitting with all the COVID stuff. Isolation Ale. Pick up selections from Odell's or any of your favorite adult beverages and use the drive-through. Open until midnight every night. Their store lobby is now open 9 to 9 p.m. Again, for your shopping pleasure. That's On the Rocks Liquor. We're going to remind you tonight, another edition of Inside the Bears Den with Jason Alvin, talking all things University of Northern Colorado. He's catching up with great coaches and players, and airing that for you tonight, 6 to 7 o'clock here on 1310 KFK. It is Top Text Tuesday. We continue here. Noob, let's start with you. I'm not ignoring you. Noob says, hey, I could say I found Jesus and stopped day drinking, cause we're talking about the koozies, during the show and didn't renew my gold membership at the Den, and I still won't win. I mean, Noob goes back to the well. Noob goes back to what he knows. He knows the Den. It's his safety zone there. That's where he feels safe. And he goes back to that well. You know, hey, did get Noob something like that. I don't remember the text exactly, but he got him three in a row. He's the only Hooligan to ever win three in a row in the history of Top Text Tuesday. So, I mean, he has it. He's never won one of these competitions because, unfortunately for Noob, we didn't start the rules of win three until after that. So I know Noob feels like CSU right now. Like, all these games are happening around him, and he's like, wait a second, why didn't I get a play last week? Eastside Chris, answering the question about the Power to Play poll question. I love that, by the way, when the Hooligans go and answer the poll question on Top Text Tuesday. Gallo and reconstruct salaries of the roster. I got to admit, the idea of bringing Danilo Gallinari back just is more and more appealing. I don't know if it makes sense, but it sure seems like something, you know, I'd like to be... I'd like to hear more about, you know, what would he be willing to do coming over here? Eastside Chris says, still, go get the Ball Brothers. Papa Ball would be in heaven. They named an arena for my brand. Yeah, I think that's, yeah, we could get him to do that. Be good marketing, wouldn't it? That's one way to ensure that you call Ball Arena. Pillified Dan, there's another answer to the poll question. There you go. Danilo fits the roster better. By the way, the Power to Play Sports poll question, if you just joined us, who'd you rather have, Drew Holiday, Victor Oladipo, or Danilo Gallinari? Now, again, you're going to have to lose somebody to get the first two mentioned guys. Danilo would be a free agent, but you might have to cut some bait anyway to make sense of the contract. Pillify Dan says, Danilo fits the roster better. I prefer the Morris-Murray combo over either of the other two. Interest. And see, I like Monte Morris a lot. He's an underrated guard. And that, to be honest with you, is my main reason for kind of hesitating before I throw Gary Harris out to get a Drew Holiday. Before I throw Gary Harris, Will Barton, probably a draft pick, or a Monte Morris. Because I do like Monte Morris. But I think I need to have him take another step, though. He needs to take another step. Danilo gives you veteran presence, size, rebounds, and threes. Not sure they need another off-the-dribble playmaker. Yeah, see, Gallo, again, Gallo was there when it started. He was there, well, when it started after the Melo days, and then he was kind of there right when Joker got in and then moved on, but still put together some great years. In fact, Gallo's been damn good since leaving Denver. He was still good in Denver, but he averaged 15 and a half points with the Clippers and 20 points his second year with the Clippers. And then about 19 points last year with the Thunder in a revived year for the Thunder where everybody thought they were just going to die. They somehow came out of it. Pillify Dan says, I still use Invesco Field regularly, so it'll take a few years before Ball comes out of my mouth. Wait, oh, goodness. Yeah, I think it's going to take people a while. There's Flying Dutchman answering the poll question. Gallo, for sure, we have the other roles filled. And see, that's the question, though, that we've talked about this whole process is, I agree, you have the other roles filled. Is Gary Harris that two guard that's going to get you to the top? I mean, I'm not. It's just like I'm telling you guys about Drew Lock yesterday. That's great if you want to wait 3 years. The Chargers are going to continue to develop Justin Herbert. The Chiefs are going to keep winning Super Bowls. And the Raiders, they have all those draft picks. They're going to start being really good. That's cute and adorable that you want to wait 10 years. But I think Broncos fans are tired of waiting. So they're going to be trying to develop Drew Lock while these other teams are established. The Nuggets, teams are going to get better around you. Golden State's coming back. And I know you want Gary Harris to guard one of those guards on Golden State, but L.A.'s not going anywhere. Both L.A.'s are not going anywhere. West's getting harder. So the tough question we all have to ask, and I'm asking it too, because I haven't made this decision up in my mind yet, not that it matters, but is Gary Harris the guy, the two guard, that will get you to the top? Because we all agree Murray's the point guard, right? I think he proved that. Joker's fine where he is. And Jeremy Grant, assuming they re-sign him, I think we're excited about the prospect there. MPJ, for the most part, I think we're excited about the prospect there. So that leaves one guy in your starting rotation that we're still a little concerned about. And again, Harris has had injuries, and his offensive production hasn't been what it used to be 3 years ago. Defensively, not many better. Perhaps maybe the best guard, maybe the best defensive guard. First advantage text line 31996. 49 minutes after the hour, Colfax. We'll take a break. Before we do that, I do want to thank one of our excellent sponsors. That's A1 Organics. Hooligans, do me a favor. Give them a call. Tell them you heard about them here on the whole show. Provide your soil with the beneficial microorganisms it deserves. Command Compost is our professional grade, is their professional grade, a microbial compost. Restore the soil health for your lawn and athletic turf. That is A1 Organics, 970-454-3492, 454-3492. All right, 10 minutes until the top of the hour. We're just getting started here. We didn't get to our Preps Radio Roundup yesterday. High school football is rocking and rolling throughout Northern Colorado. We'll bring Clark Johnson on to talk about some of the best of the best over the weekend, and a busy, busy weekend coming up for Preps football this week. So look out for that. We'll be right back.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m. Hear Mornings with Gail, weekdays 6 to 9 in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA.
This is Cody Ward from the Locked On Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On NFL Network. Make sure that you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA for the latest news in Broncos country.
Hey, I'm really happy with this Top Text Tuesday today. Wow. You guys are bringing it. Like, you're not all trying to be hilarious. You're just bringing takes today. I like this one from the Flying Dutchman. He's saying, hey, Gallo for sure. We have the other roles filled. Talking about Gary Harris, though, he said for a traditional two, Harris is not the answer. Losing Harris and Barton would free up a lot of money. And that's you know, Barton's always been that question mark for me. There's going to be games where he's going to save you. And there's going to be games where maybe he's one of the real reasons you lost a game. So, again, the Nuggets have some soul-searching to do with Gary Harris and Will Barton. Because if this is the best that they can get, and you think that, all right, Harris is going to get back to a 17-point, 18-point guy, and I don't know that he can. I don't see that. But his defense is so good that maybe you're willing to let some of that go. Dixon. On the First Advantage text line, 31996. With Barton coming back and unleashing MPJ, and assuming Grant comes back, and again, that's still kind of a big assumption, the Nuggets have enough offense. I like dumping Millsap and adding a guy like Whiteside. See, I like Whiteside. I like that as an inside presence. Wouldn't mess with the rest right now. So you put Barton on the bench. I think putting Barton back on the bench makes the most sense for me. And again, if you keep Gary, I kind of want to see where you go. If you go with a Whiteside there and you get a rim protector, Serge Ibaka, yeah, Dixon, I heard that name a lot. Yeah, rim protector's a big need. A two guard's a big need. So those are, if you could fill that, then no, I'm not going to. Drew Holiday's just a bigger name. If you add that production offensively, and he can play defense, but you're going to have to give up Harris, Barton, and a draft pick, if not more. And I don't even know if that would do the trick. We're wrapping up here. Pillow Fight Dan, I'll read your text. On the lock convo yesterday and exercising patience, as hard as it is to admit, Garrett Bowles is a perfect example. To this point in the season, he's the number one ranked left tackle in football. Not the AFC, not top five, but best in the league. It took him five seasons, but he's now the best. Mahomes and Herbert are not the expectation. They're the exceptions. The expectations for Locke as a second-round draft and development quarterback are too high after eight games. And if expectations aren't tempered, he's not going to live up to them. Unfortunately, that's the way Broncos country views it. Well, let's open that back up in the second hour. Can Locke get better? We'll be right back.